אנחנו קוראים בספר פסח מאמר.
We are reading from the Passover book, Rabash, and he said, "When you deliver the Hebrew women." You can find the article on kablamedia.info or kab.tv. And he said, "When you deliver the Hebrew women." And he said, "When you deliver the Hebrew women, see upon the birth stool. If it is a boy, put him to death. And if it is a girl, she shall live." Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every boy who is born, cast him in the Nile, and every girl, keep alive." We should interpret this: when a person begins to walk on the path of the Creator, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is the king who rules over the bodies, to keep those who work in order to bestow, so that the bodies will resist and they will not be able to achieve the desired wholeness, which is that all his actions will be for the sake of the Creator. For this reason, he said, meaning commanded, that when the workers engage in Torah and mitzvot, called Hebrews, when the work in Torah and mitzvot belongs to servants of the Creator, while the Egyptians are when one engages in corporeal actions, in which the Egyptians engage as well. Only when they engage in Torah and mitzvot, they are called Hebrews. See on the birth stool is the time when one says that he wants to understand what he is doing, for what purpose he engages in Torah and mitzvot. If he is a boy, meaning his work is in order to bestow, and this is his desire when he engages in Torah and mitzvot, put him to death, meaning do not give him any vitality or strength, so he will stop his work. If it is a girl, meaning his intention has the quality of female, nukva, in order to receive, she shall live, meaning you can give him strength and vitality, because that person does not wish to come out of Egypt, and there is no reason to fear him. Hence, you may help him. Let him do whatever he wants, even if he is meticulous in all kinds of manners, since in any case, he will remain with us in Egypt, and it is not worthwhile to exert for no reason, for in any case, he is one of ours. But if he is a boy, if his aim is to come, to aim for the sake of the Creator, and not for his own benefit, from this he can be rewarded with the Savior of Israel, called the quality of Moses. As our sages said, the expansion of Moses in each and every generation. If he is rewarded with the quality of Moses, called the Savior of Israel, who will deliver them from Egypt? We must see beforehand, so as to prevent him from reaching a state where he emerges from the exile in Egypt. However, how can they know that he is going for the aim to bestow? After all, he is still in Egypt, which is working for self-benefit and not in order to bestow. However, now he wants to be rewarded with it, and for this he gave them as a sign a male, his face is downward, a female, her face is upward. He interprets face and back in the introduction to the study of the 10th Sefirot, that when seeing a person from behind, we cannot know if this is truly the person of whom we are thinking. He might be another, and we could be mistaken. But if we see the other's face, there are no doubts. Hence, when we want to imply that we understand something in utter certainty, that we have no mistakes, this is called face, panim. Conversely, something that is not clear to the mind is called achoraim, back, posterior. For this reason, face is called knowing, that he is serving the Creator only in a manner of knowing. This is considered that his face is up in terms of importance, since what counts for him is the awareness, the achoraim, the posterior, the back, which is faith, since in the mind it could be either or. He regards this as below in its importance. For this reason, he gave them the sign. If you want to know if he is going for the goal of achieving, if you want to know if he's going for the goal of achieving the aim to bestow, if his face is downward, if knowing is of little importance to him, and his back is upward, meaning that faith is of high importance to him, it is a sign that he wants to achieve the quality of boy, the aim to bestow. Hence, put him to death. Disrupt him, however you can, because he will certainly be rewarded with the quality of Moses, who is the savior of Israel, and will deliver them from the exile in Egypt, and will enter the land of Israel, in the palace of Kedusha, holiness. This is the meaning of, and you shall see my back, meaning faith, but my face shall not be seen. Namely, you will not attain me through knowledge. Pharaoh commanded all his people, meaning he does not know from which nation the Savior of Israel will be born, whether from Egypt or from Israel. Every person consists of corporeal actions, called Egyptians, for the Egyptians also engage in corporeal actions. Hence, man's work in corporeal actions is called Egypt. And when he engages in Torah and mitzvot, he is called Israel. He says that he does not know from which discernment a person might be rewarded with the quality of Moses, called the Savior of Israel. That is, it could be that while a person engages in corporeality, while all his intentions are in order to bestow, even while doing corporeal actions, he might be rewarded with the quality of the Savior of Israel. For this reason, keep an eye while they engage in corporeal actions, that if they aim in order to bestow, which is called a male, cast him in the Nile. That is, do not let him aim for the sake of the Creator, called a boy, even with corporeal actions. And every girl is kept alive only when his aim is to receive in order to receive. You can give him vitality and strength to do corporeal deeds. But if it is a boy, he might be rewarded with the quality of Moses, called the Savior of Israel. At that time too, who will deliver him from the exile in Egypt and into the land of Kedusha, holiness.
Any questions? Read it again. Don't hurry.
Article, and he said, when you deliver the Hebrew women. Rabash. And he said, when you deliver the Hebrew women, see upon the birthstool, if it is a boy, put him to death, and if it is a girl, she shall live. Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every boy who is born, cast him in the Nile, and every girl, keep alive. We should interpret this. When a person begins to walk on the path of the Creator, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is the king who rules over the bodies, to keep those who work in order to bestow, so that the bodies will resist, and they will not be able to achieve the desired wholeness, which is that all his actions will be for the sake of the Creator. For this reason, he said, meaning commanded that when the workers engage in Torah and mitzvot, called Hebrews, when the work in Torah and mitzvot belongs to servants of the Creator, while the Egyptians are when one engages in corporeal actions in which the Egyptians engage as well. Only when they engage in Torah and mitzvot, they are called Hebrews. See on the birthstool is the time when one says that he wants to understand what he is doing, for what purpose he engages in Torah and mitzvot. If he is a boy, meaning his work is in order to bestow, and this is his desire, when he engages in Torah and mitzvot, put him to death, meaning do not give him any vitality or strength, so he will stop his work. If it is a girl, meaning his intention has the quality of female, in order to receive, she shall live, meaning you can give him strength and vitality, because that person does not wish to come out of Egypt, and there's no reason to fear him. Hence, you may help him. Let him do whatever he wants, even if he is meticulous in all kinds of manners, since in any case, he will remain with us in Egypt, and it is not worthwhile to exert for no reason, for in any case, he is one of ours. But if he is a boy, if his aim is to come to aim for the sake of the Creator and not for his own benefit, from this he can be rewarded with the Savior of Israel, called the quality of Moses. As our sages said, the expansion of Moses in each and every generation. If he is rewarded with the quality of Moses, called the Savior of Israel, who will deliver them from Egypt? We must see beforehand, so as to prevent him from reaching a state where he emerges from the exile in Egypt. However, how can they know that he is going for the aim to bestow? After all, he is still in Egypt, which is working for self-benefit, and not in order to bestow. However, now he wants to be rewarded with it, and for this he gave them as sign a male, his face is downward, a female, her face is upward. He interprets face and back in introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, that when seeing a person from behind, we cannot know if this is truly the person of whom we are thinking. He might be another, and we could be mistaken. But if we see the other's face, there are no doubts. Hence, when we want to imply that we understand something in utter certainty, that we have no mistakes, this is called face. Conversely, something that is not clear to the mind is called back. For this reason, face is called knowing, that he is serving the Creator only in a manner of knowing. This is considered that his face is up in terms of importance, since what counts for him is the awareness. The back, which is faith, since in the mind it could be either or, he regards this as below in its importance. For this reason, he gave them the sign. If you want to know if he is going for the goal of achieving the aim to bestow, if his face is downward, if knowing is of little importance to him, and his back is upward, meaning that faith is of high importance to him, it is a sign that he wants to achieve the quality of boy, the aim to bestow. Hence, put him to death. Disrupt him however you can, because he will certainly be rewarded with the quality of Moses, who is the Savior of Israel, and will deliver them from the exile in Egypt, and will enter the land of Israel, the palace of Kedusha. This is the meaning of, "And you shall see my back," meaning faith. "But my face shall not be seen," namely, you will not attain me through knowledge. Pharaoh commanded all his people, meaning he does not know from which nation the Savior of Israel will be born, whether from Egypt or Israel. Every person consists of corporeal actions, called Egyptians. For the Egyptians also engage in corporeal actions. Hence, man's work in corporeal actions is called Egypt. And when he engages in Torah and mitzvot, he is called Israel. He says that he does not know from which discernment a person might be rewarded with the quality of Moses, called a Savior of Israel. That is, it could be that while a person engages in corporeality, all his intentions are in order to bestow, even while doing corporeal actions. He might be rewarded with the quality of the Savior of Israel. For this reason, keep an eye while they engage in corporal actions, that if they aim in order to bestow, which is called a male, cast him in the Nile. That is, do not let him aim for the sake of the Creator, called a boy, even with corporeal actions. And every girl keep alive. Only when his aim is to receive, in order to receive, you are able to give him vitality and strength to do corporeal deeds. But if it is a boy, he might be rewarded with the quality of Moses, called the Savior of Israel. At that time too, who will deliver him from the exile in Egypt and into the land of Kedusha, holiness.
Yes, Amnon.
Now, why is Pharaoh, who's a great king, is afraid that he'll lose to the heavens? Why does this only happen when a new king arises?
Again.
Why Pharaoh, who's a great king, is afraid that he'll lose authority to the heavens, and it only happens when a new king arises?
Pharaoh is the will to receive, that is great and ruling. However, there is a method that can bring us out of the will to receive, and this is what he's afraid of. He is afraid that people will run away from him who, for the time being, are under him. That's it.
When we say he, who's that?
The will to receive.
The will to receive of a person?
Yes, of course. The will to receive inside of the person.
It's inside?
Yes, the Pharaoh is inside. That's the Pharaoh.
So why when new king arises?
No, a new king arose in Egypt who did not know Joseph. Meaning that the will to receive, the ego in the person is renewed.
And when Joseph was there no possibility to escape?
No, there was between them some kind of understanding, like a truth. Yosef did not feel that this is disturbing him, and also Pharaoh didn't feel that Joseph is disturbing him, because if the gathering is not for the sake of heaven, it's not in order to progress, to in order to bestow, then it doesn't bother anyone. You have many left wings, right wings, whoever you want, they all gather, and they make some sort of a covenant between them, and it does not mean anything. Only the intention, for what purpose, and for what purpose, that is the new king who did not know Joseph. Then it becomes a problem, meaning then truly the egoistic desire rises, and a person starts to feel that it doesn't allow him to move, that he wasn't such an egoist before as he is now.
How does that happen? A person is a person. How does it happen that he becomes a bigger egoist? How does the will to receive grow?
He goes into a higher gear, and that's it. As it says, the Lord has made one opposite the other. If they gather more, if they feel themselves as a bit stronger, then the will to receive against that has to also become stronger in order to give them a place to work. Anyone else? Yes, Shlomo?
I'm going to scrutinize another point. The workers of the Creator. The opposite, those who fear the Creator. Why did they have to leave Egypt? What's worthwhile for them to leave Egypt?
You're right. If they are those who fear the Lord and servants of Pharaoh, but nevertheless, they are afraid of the Creator. They do want to do what the Creator wants. However, they want to receive all of the reward in the will to receive. This is called servants of Pharaoh. But they cannot seemingly stay in Egypt with the work of being servants of the Lord. But they also cannot reach a state where they would be the servants of the Lord for the Lord. Rather, they come out of Egypt because they want to be the servants of the Lord, and in Egypt this is impossible. However, they keep on being those who fear the Lord but serve Pharaoh. In Egypt, they cannot stay. Besides that, what they want is these desires, want to hold the desires that come out of Egypt and bring them back into Egypt. This is why they chase after Israel, as is written.
Yeah, they want to bring them back, supposedly, but it doesn't stop them from leaving Egypt.
Their goal is to be those who fear the Lord but serve Pharaoh. And the goal of the Jews is to be those who fear the Lord and serve the Lord. It's as if the work is the same work, but it's either in order to receive or in order to bestow.
It's clear to me.
So,
why are they chasing after the Hebrews? Why do they want to bring them back?
Because that would be their prophet. That's the prophet. You mean inside of the person, right? So imagine to yourself, what do they want to do? You are going out. Why? Why do you go out of Egypt?
On one hand, they need to exit Egypt to increase the desire.
But then they won't be servants of Pharaoh. Then all of the prophet will not remain in the will to receive. Rather, it will go towards the land of Israel, the will to bestow. This is why they don't let them come out. They don't want to allow them to come out. And look what is happening with us, how we are being pulled back, seemingly, both us internally and also on the outside.
What?
Anyone else?
Rav Moshiyan shel Israel, al maze medubar?
The Moshiyan of Israel, what does that talk
the
about?
The Savior of Israel. Israel, the Messiah, the one who saves Israel.
We talk about us. Is it a group? How can we say it?
Is there a reforming light in general? Well, we should not get confused about it. Okay, what next? Yes?
What's that state that it can be that when a person works in corporeality, but all of his intentions are in order to bestow?
So?
And in these corporeal actions, he can be rewarded with the Savior of Israel.
Why not?
How can it be?
Well, what is the question?
How can you have all the intentions to be in order to bestow when doing corporeal actions?
What are corporeal actions?
An action.
What is an action? A deed. Something that you do in this world. And if you had the right intention to an action in this world, then you're doing something good, a correction.
What corporeal actions do we need to do?
Whatever you can, whatever is in your power and hand to do, do it. The most important is the intention.
If the intention is what's important, why do we need the actions?
An intention without an action is like a ghost.
What actions do we need to include the intentions?
Anything you can do, anything you should do with a corporeal action, add to it an intention. What are you doing it for?
It's just an intention, there's nothing to do?
Just an intention without an act?
Stop every moment and pray for the 10.
So you're doing it. Every half an hour you're doing something. We're talking about corporeal actions that a person also does. Let's say now before Passover you are performing many actions. Okay, so add to it the right intention. I don't quite understand what is the difficulty here.
How can there be actions with the intention to bestow? How can it even be? How can someone be in Egypt and have the intention to bestow?
No, he doesn't. He is in Egypt, that is, he has the intention to receive. He performs all kinds of actions in order to reach, in order to bestow. So,
and if we're talking now that the Pharaoh gives a command to recognize us, how can we recognize us and stop it?
If his face is up, that's what it says there, right? Then it is called in order to bestow. If his face is downward, it means it is called in order to receive.
Who determines if the face is up or down?
A person according to his intention.
So a person who's directed in order to bestow is, how does he know it's in order to bestow really? That it's not
through the group, he turns to the Creator, he asks of him those guidelines, and this is what he does.
So let's say he does such an action.
Then he begins to feel that he is in Egypt.
Which is?
That there are forces that do not allow him to do that. Then he cries out, until he cries out, save me, and the Creator saves him. Okay. Is this how it is? Well,
Konstantin from Novosibirsk. What does it mean that Pharaoh doesn't know from what nation the savior of Israel will be born? Egypt or Israel?
In whatever state the person is in, he's still unknown. Maybe he's still in the state of Egypt. Maybe he's already in the state of Israel. But it is clear to Pharaoh, he feels, according to the weakness of his own forces, that the Messiah should be born. And he will take them from away from under his rule, from the will to receive. Okay, that's it. No more? Okay. So let's continue.
Next article is Mind and Heart from Rabash. You can find it at kabbalahmedia.info or kab.tv. The matter of mind and heart. The will to receive is expressed in mind and in heart. By correcting it to work in order to bestow, a person can receive the upper abundance. Let us explain the will to receive in the heart. The heart is called desire and yearning for pleasures. Hence, if a person can correct his actions in a manner that he can relinquish all the pleasures in the world, if he sees that it will not yield any benefit to the glory of the Creator, he is rewarded with receiving real pleasures, because now their reception will not be for his own benefit. By intimation, this is implied in a verse, and he looked this way and that, and saw there was no person, and he struck the Egyptian. Rashi interprets that he saw that nothing good would come out of his offspring, meaning that he saw that from this Egyptian, meaning from this act, there will be no benefit. He struck the Egyptian, not letting him satisfy his will, and rejecting his request. This is called putting to death the act and the thought of that Egyptian, who is included in his heart. Also, the pleasure of the mind is only in doing what he understands, what he is doing, to the extent that he does things against his reason. When his reason demands otherwise, his suffering is measured by the measure of resistance to his mind. When a person goes above his mind, when he is given the mind that approves of all his work, he will be able to say that he is receiving all this in order to bestow, since for his part, he can relinquish the mind. At that time, he can be rewarded with the light of faith, for he can relinquish because his aim is not for himself. The proof of this is that the does everything if it is against the proof is that he does everything even if it is against the intellect. Naturally, he is able to receive the light of faith and can be certain that his aim is to bestow. But when he cannot work in faith, but only where the mind approves, meaning according to the will to receive, he remains inside the tzimtzum, the restriction. For this reason, we need two works, mind and heart.
Again.
The matter of mind and heart. The will to receive is expressed in mind and in heart, by correcting it to work in order to bestow. A person can receive the upper abundance. Let us explain the will to receive in the heart. The heart is called desire and yearning for pleasures. Hence, if a person can correct his actions in a manner that he can relinquish all the pleasures in the world, if he sees that it will not yield any benefit to the glory of the Creator, he is then rewarded with receiving real pleasures, because now their reception will not be for his own benefit. By intimation, this is implied in the verse, and he looked this way and that, and saw there was no person, and he struck the Egyptian. Rashi interprets that he saw that nothing good would come out of his offspring, meaning that he saw that from this Egyptian, meaning from this act, there will be no benefit. He struck the Egyptian, not letting him satisfy his will, and rejecting his request. This is called putting to death the act and the thought of that Egyptian, who is included in his heart. Also, the pleasure of the mind is only in doing what he understands what he is doing, to the extent that he does things against his reason. When his reason demands otherwise, his suffering is measured by the measure of resistance to his mind. When a person goes above his mind, when he is given the mind that approves of all his work, he will be able to say that he is receiving all this in order to bestow, since for his part, he can relinquish the mind. At that time, he can be rewarded with the light of faith, for he can relinquish, because his aim is not for himself. The proof of this is that he does everything, even if it is against the intellect. Naturally, he is able to receive the light of faith, and can be certain that his aim is to bestow. But when he cannot work in faith, but only where the mind approves, meaning according to the will to receive, he remains inside the tzimtzum, the restriction. For this reason, we need two works, mind and heart.
Any questions?
How can we integrate the mind and heart so that the work will be the most beneficial?
With all of the heart and all of the mind, until it would become the middle line, full, complete.
Who's in charge of this, that I'll work with the mind and heart correctly?
You're responsible. Who else would you ask for?
How do I purify this me that I'll always be in order to bestow?
Through the prayer.
Why do we start first with the 10 and then the group and then, you know, in different stages until you get to Abak Delei Tuva?
From internality to externality, this is how we advance. Yeah?
What's clear is the intention in order to bestow is concealed in the person. How can we discover it in accelerated times?
That is the work. That is the work. We have to try in the group as much as possible, in the study, in mingling with the friends. That's what it is, all in all. There's no such thing here where there's a button that you can press and get it.
What is the order of work in Itai?
Emunah, Tfila, Yegi'ah. Faith, prayer, and exertion. What is the order of the work? Well, whatever is in your power to do, do it.
As a person, in order to come to hearing, does he need to do the actions 30, 40, even 60 years? And then he's able to truly hear.
I don't think it takes so long that he needs so many years. If he's actually working, it should be a lot less. But it has to be this way, because until the elements within him change, until he's truly capable of feeling inside of him, where is the will to receive, where is the will to bestow, the intention to bestow, the intention to receive, me, others, etc. All of these discernments, until they begin to awaken in him so that he actually feels them, that they exist, and each one of them, when something happens against that, awakens in him a certain discernment, something else happens, another discernment, etc. This takes a lot of time. And this is because we have to detect those spiritual discernments inside of us.
For me, it took 63 years.
No, I'm not talking in such a way. No, we're done with you.
Okay, thanks.
You're still young. Okay, yes.
Student from Israel is asking, towards the 10, can we work with the Pharaoh?
Again?
Towards the 10, can we illuminate the force of Pharaoh in order to recognize evil and in order to enter Egypt?
No, it's forbidden. It's disqualified to awaken the ego, the will to receive. We have to awaken the will to bestow, and against that, the will to receive will awaken. Only this way. This is the first rule in the spiritual work. Never do we go toward in order to receive, the will to receive. Always in order to bestow towards the group, towards the teacher, and against that, you will see how all of these things awaken in you.
Thanks for what was said. Now, what is that he struck the Egyptian?
Well,
that he couldn't fulfill his request?
No, I can't hear you. Read slowly.
He struck the Egyptian by not letting him satisfy his will and rejecting his request.
Yes, so?
We don't need to deal with this Egyptian.
But if he awakens, then you don't fill him up. You leave him empty like that.
And it's called he struck the Egyptian?
He struck the Egyptian means that you don't deliberately awaken the Egyptian. But if he does wake up, you don't take care of him. You don't fulfill him. You don't satisfy him. We need that as the left. We don't kill anyone. Pharaoh remains. We come out of Egypt. Thank God. You know, send him a goodbye kiss and go away. Like that. Always rise and rise and rise above him. Terence, what's with you? Go ahead and ask.
Rav, I got a question. And I don't know the answer.
Yeah?
Someone...
Not in English.
Someone asked me if someone Michel Charlotte im anachnu lomdim.
Someone asked me if we study the actions of Melkavah, the actions of Bereshit, the Genesis.
Yes. So just tell him yes, as if he would know. Just tell him yeah, we do. The deed of the Merkavah, the assembly or chariot, or the act of Bereshit, Genesis, are the same ten sefirot, but on a higher level in Gaon of Atzilut.
He doesn't know.
Well, just tell him yes. Yeah. The deed or the act of the Merkavah, you study that. All in all, it's the general soul. Well, is that it? No more questions? Then we should keep reading.
Next article from Rabash, Saved Us from the Hand of the Shepherds. You can find it at kablamedia.info or kab.tv. Rabash, Saved Us from the Hand of the Shepherds.
Hatzilenu miyad haroim.
Saved us from the hand of the shepherds. Moses said, and they will say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I will be who I will be. He said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I will be sent to you. Sorry, I will be sent me to you. Rashi interpreted, I will be with them in this trouble, and I will be with them in the enslavement of the rest of the kings. He said to him, Master of the world, why am I reminding them of another trouble? This trouble is enough for them. He told him, well said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I will be sent me to you. Rashi interpreted that the Creator reiterated what he said earlier to Moses alone, and said, I will be, twice, Ekye, while to Israel. He said, Ekye, I will be only once. And they said, an Egyptian man saved us from the hand of the shepherds. There is an allegory in the Midrash about a man who was bitten by a donkey, and he ran out to put his feet in the water. He put it in the river and saw an infant sinking in the water. So he stretched out his hand and saved him. The infant said to him, were it not for you, I would have been dead. He replied to the infant, it was not I who saved you, but the donkey, which bit me, and I ran from it. He is the one who saved you. This is why they said to their father, an Egyptian man saved us from the hands of the shepherds. But who caused the Egyptian man to come to us? The Egyptian man that he had killed. What does this tell us? We can interpret this by intimation. Moses was to come to the general public of Israel and tell them that the Creator will deliver them from exile. Therefore, he told him, only once I will be Ekye, meaning that they would have exile only in that Israel are in exile among the Asians, among the nations of the world. In other words, we should discern between the Gentile in Israel, who is in exile among the nations. When one wants what the nations want, meaning every corporeal thing, and the Gentiles do not give them what they want. When the Gentiles of the nations of the world rule over the Gentiles of the people of Israel, this is called corporeal exile. But exile is primarily in the quality of Israel in a person, when he should observe the Torah and mitzvot, and the Gentiles within him do not give him the freedom to do what he wants. At that time, one feels that he is in exile within his own body. Before one emerges from this exile, from corporeal lusts, he cannot feel spiritual pleasures from Torah and mitzvot. Then, the body is made to understand that it is better for it to relinquish corporeal lusts. For by this he will be rewarded with real pleasures. And when he begins to relinquish corporeal lusts, the body wants to show its governance and resist his actions. This is the meaning of the words, "Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you did not save your people at all." That is, before we begin to speak with the body, called wicked Pharaoh, to speak in your name, meaning relinquish everything for the sake of the Creator, we see the lowliness of the body and begin to feel the exile. This is one I will be, Ekye, meaning in this trouble. This pertains to the general public of Israel. However, there is work called the quality of Moses, which is the Torah. This is the second trouble. That is, when one has been rewarded with spiritual pleasures, there is the trouble that at that time he cannot aim in order to bestow, meaning to decide that if not for the purpose of its mitzvah, he relinquishes the spiritual pleasures. This is harder than relinquishing corporeal pleasures, because the greater the pleasure, the harder it is to relinquish it. This is regarded as the second I will be, Ekye, meaning a second trouble. However, this pertains only to those who learn Torah, called the quality of Moses. This is not for the whole of Israel to learn, but to learners of Torah who must know that it is forbidden to receive spiritual pleasures for oneself as well, but rather only in order to bestow, called Masach Anaviyut, screen and thickness. The Creator promised Moses that he would deliver them from both the first and second troubles. However, we must know that emerging from the first trouble is mainly emergence from corporeal lusts, and that without it, it is impossible to achieve spiritual pleasures. This is the allegory in the Midrash. An Egyptian man saved us from the hands of the shepherds. That is, the fact that he killed the Egyptian, meaning the first reason, we must also remember even afterward, when we come to the second state, which is the exile over spiritual pleasures, that we must receive them in order to bestow. And the body disagrees. That is, killing the Egyptian refers to corporeal lusts called Egyptian. Conversely, the second trouble is the quality of Israel, meaning that he has spiritual pleasures, and yet he is in trouble because he must overcome in order to bestow and needs the Creator to deliver him also from this trouble.
Any questions? Well, Shlomo.
Spiritual pleasure without in order to bestow, what's that?
The spiritual pleasure without intention to bestow.
Yeah, it's written.
That as if it is revealed and then you have to overcome it. It's like a klipa, a shell. That you still have to... Well, how do you reach a mitzvah? You have a pleasure that is revealed, and then over it. Well, because it is revealed, because you're already in the preparation for it. You have a tzimtzum and masach, and now you need to create or chozer, reflected light, and enter some interconnection with it. So that's how you do it. So there is pleasure. Just like the host puts these things before you, yes, Amnon.
When and how does a person work in order to bestow and then able to change the intention? Someone who's in will to receive, how can he change the intention to in order to bestow?
Only the reforming light gives a person the possibility to invert the intention from in order to receive to in order to bestow. With anything, even the smallest thing, besides that, a person who is already walking in spirituality, he doesn't even want to try some other means. There is no such thing. He has the possibility to turn to the Creator. For him, it's not the matter of receiving or bestowing, yes or not, or whatever, rather turning to the Creator. And by that, he gives contentment. That is the most important for him. And on top of whichever pleasures, whichever actions, that does not matter.
A person who works in will to receive doesn't know that he needs to plead to the Creator in order to change the intention. He knows they need to do it to get the desire.
I don't understand what you mean.
A person that's in will to receive.
In general, in order to receive, we're not talking about him then. How can we work with him? Take somebody from the outside, explain to him what we're doing. What will he tell you? That's not my business. Or he might say that you guys are a little bit off, or maybe you're philosophers or mystics, or you know, something is not quite right with you. Whatever you're dealing with, it's not realistic. We are talking about people who are already for a long time in the spiritual work, and then they are given all kinds of obstacles, and how can they rise above these obstacles? By asking for the force of bestowal. Just like you are sitting before the host, and he's pushing to you plate after plate, what are you going to do? So, here we're talking about the fact that you have the possibility to turn to the Creator and ask, as if the host is not the Creator, and ask, how can I receive in order to bestow whatever the host is giving me? There are several forms of the Creator. Pharaoh is also the Creator, and the Creator is the Creator, and the force that comes from the Creator is all really one force in billions of different manners. What did you find there, Yaniv? Nobody else? Everything is clear? What? Who? You, okay.
Nations of the world waiting for Israel to connect and bring the method of connection. They're waiting for it. That specifically Israel will connect. And Israel bring that spiritual force to the whole world.
You mean the nations of the world inside of us? On the outside, I never heard anything from anyone. I was all over the world. I never heard that they're waiting for anything from us. But only if you will start to discover your own egoistic desires, who are called the nations of the world, then you will discover that when you come to them and you want to invert them to be in order to bestow, then you will start to discover in the nations of the world outside of you, according to how much you can correct your own internal nations of the world, that the external nations of the world suddenly are saying Israel should bring us correction. And we are willing to help them. We are ready to carry them to the temple on our backs. And we will clean this entire mountain there in order to build the temple. Everything, we will bring it up there, etc. When you will perform such inner actions within you against your own internal nations of the world, so that they will awaken the external nations of the world. This is how it will happen. And this is also how it happened in Egypt. That is what we read also. Well, is that it? You're thinking about the external nations of the world? No, they can only curse you. But they have no idea what you are talking about. They don't even know what it's all about. They just feel that they're not getting from you what is good for them. Yesterday, the Notre Dame in Paris went on fire. Today, they already wrote that apparently the Jews did that. Yeah. It's already written. Yes. So, you see, that's it. Until you will do something good with your own internal will to receive from within outwards for this to expand in them, you won't see anything good from them. They cannot awaken. They cannot. It's like we read this morning, right? That all of these wickeds in the world, like Hitler and all of those, they are the servants of the Lord. They are messengers of the Creator in order to balance this whole campaign, the system. He sends them, he awakens them, not somebody else. So I realize that in a human, personal manner, you hate people like that. But they, by themselves, are not responsible for anything. The fact that later you put them to trial and you hang them or something, okay, let them do it. But it's incorrect. It's incorrect. You know who they should judge? Those who cause all of that. What did you find? What does it say? From Raya Kuk, the words of the Raya, if it would be possible to blow a shofar that is ready for redemption, if we cannot do it, the enemies of Israel come and they blow it in our ears for redemption. They make noise in our ears and do not leave us alone. Amalek, Hitler, damn he and others, etc., awakened for redemption. This threat of the whip of the trouble of the Jews also brings with it redemption. However, such a shofar should not be blessed for. Is that it? Well, go ahead and ask. Last one.
When is a person rewarded with speaking with the Creator through the 10 Sefirot?
Through what?
With the 8 Sefirot. How does a person create?
When he's rewarded? He's rewarded. What do you mean?
When can I start talking to him like that?
What are you asking? Why are you asking me? Do I arrange these things for you?
Talk to him through Chochmah, Bina.
Do you have any of this already?
I don't know.
What do you mean, I don't know? So, if you don't know, you don't know. You don't have it.
Even if I know, I wouldn't say.
So what do you want from me? So you have it, but you're not telling me. What can I tell you? How can I answer you then?
Ken.
Why is there no sync between these corporeal and spiritual actions? We're at this, the exile. We're at the end of this exile. Is it corporeal? Spiritual? We haven't even entered it yet. It's not connecting for me at all.
I don't see that this is how it is. I see that following 2,000 years from the wisdom of Kabbalah, it is coming back, started coming back from the days of the Ari. And nowadays it is already with strength. I mean, look how many things we're advertising. However, these things take time until it will spread, until it will expand, until everyone will understand and feel, and also feel that there is no choice, that they must have that. It is such a degree that is slow, but it is already, and Baal HaSulam says, and it's true, not because he said it, but I also see that this is the matter of the days of the Messiah.
We're toward exiting the last exile.
The force that is pulling the whole of humanity is revealed, pulling it from in order to receive to in order to bestow. This force is now becoming revealed through all kinds of connections. This force is revealed through what we do, the way that we disseminate, and what we do with the tents and the congresses. It is revealed. Now, the fact that it takes a lot of time, well, you can't run ahead of everyone. You can't. Rather, you can walk in a pace so that they will follow you. How do I determine their pace? By advertising, publicizing. If you would be able to succeed faster in your publicizing, then the response of the world would be faster, and then we ourselves would be able to advance more. It turns out that there is the Creator, right? I'll even do a picture for you if you want. So here we have the Creator, Bore. To whom we are drawn. Here is Israel. Yisrael. And here are the nations of the world, Umot HaOlam. In Israel we have several groups, let's say, that all in all we have to activate from all of us by turning to the Creator so that He will help us, and then we receive this power from Him and we impart it to the nations of the world. If the nations of the world advance, let's say we'll do plus one in them, then we can also advance, and we start advancing to the Creator also plus one. If they are plus two, then you can also do a plus two. But it's always that they are the first, and you advance accordingly, because you are the Rosh, head. They are the Guf, body. And if there is no need in the Guf, then the Rosh is useless. Therefore, we all depend in our advancement and in our dissemination on our dissemination on the nations of the world.
Is that in spirituality or corporeality?
It's both in spirituality and in corporeality. I'm not looking at the nations. I'm looking at how much they are in a state where if we bestow to them, they will bestow back to us the ability to advance towards the Creator. It's like Baal HaSulam writes that we are rewarded with advancing only because they need the correction. It's written, find these horses for us.
It's confusing that we're doing dissemination in corporeality and doing all these things in corporeality, and we have to advance in spirituality. We're towards this redemption. The redemption needs to come now.
What do you mean in our world?
Here, where we're sitting.
What do you mean, our redemption? Well, what do you think redemption is? It says in Maimonides that redemption means that the world will keep on behaving as usual. There is no change, only a change in the relationships between people. And from people, it will be in the attainment of spirituality, divinity. What, do you think Earth will start turning the other way around, or...
In history, we exited Egypt. I don't know how to depict it exactly, but it happened in corporeality and spirituality.
So?
Now we're also in repeating history. Is it in spirituality or corporeality?
I do not understand you. Are you not in corporeality?
I'm in corporeality.
Okay, so what do you want?
This historical timeline is getting confused with the roots.
Think about it a little bit more and it will work out faster. I understand you. It happens to beginners.
Where does it start? I'm already many years.
You are a beginner, you bet. If you don't know where you are still, in corporeality or spirituality, how can I say about you that you're not a beginner? Okay.
No, but I'll think about it.
Okay, think about it and it will be okay.
Adon.
Mister.
הנה מה טוב ומנעים שבת אחים גם
וזה שהעניק לי השם במידה שלמה אצלנו שזה אינו תלוי בגאוניות של החכם עצמו אלא במצב הדור על דרך שאמרו זל ראוי היה שמואל הקטן אלא שאין דורו זכאי לכך ועל כן אמרתי שכל זכייתי בדרך גילוי החוכמה הוא מסיבת הדור שלי